Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, folks, to Hamp's Corner of America, a corner where your host, Codis Hampton II, hangs out with notable guests discussing topics of interest to you and yours. Milwaukee's 13th and Juno is where our host grew up, where his creativity and his imagination originated. Hamp's Corner of America is where we discuss, debate, and innovate. In the end, we will all leave with a sense of purpose. So come on, hang out with us. And now your host, Codis Hampton II.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Hamp. Here at the corner, we're pleased that you're taking the time to check us out. We are old school here, without disregarding the contributions of hip-hop to our current state of being. You will find that we often refer back to our past, as we do believe that if you do not know where you came from, you most certainly will not get to where you want to go. It is our hope that you will hang with us and our guest of the hour, and even contribute to the discussion, so that we may leave here having gained, or at the very least, enhanced our perspective on the topics of today. And by all means, have fun while doing so. Without further ado, let's get deep into it.
Hello, 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 folks. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're taking the time to join us. I must apologize for misleading those who saw the advertisement poster I issued for this show, in which I asked potential callers to call in to, quote, join in the discussion. Zurian Bennett is not live with me today, as I had to do a telephone call taped interview with him last Thursday night. You can still call in and ask me a question, or I can forward your questions or comments to Zurian. And he does provide his contact information at the end of this interview. For that matter, I can also provide you with the same. I'm going to play two segments of our conversation on this show, averaging about 25 minutes each, and the third segment on our April 8th show. On another note, at the beginning of this year, I made two resolutions. I would get more involved with my church here in Pittsburgh, and I would no longer worry about people that cross my path and tend to take up a lot of time and energy without giving anything of themselves. I know, that's a lot in one sentence. Those of you who enjoy helping out and giving to family and friends know exactly what I'm talking about. We all know people who are in our lives or pass through that are takers. They never bring anything to the conversation, table, party, or business venture. Yet, if you're not careful, they will certainly leave with something of yours and more. It doesn't matter how large or insignificant this thing, money, or time is. Whatever they take doesn't really matter. The problem is they become so reliant upon what they can get from you, whatever that is. It keeps you replenishing whatever you're giving out. So anyway, I pray to God I don't refuse anybody that is in dire need, and more importantly, I don't change who I am. I can't do that. I find myself talking more and more about this very thing to other people who are givers. Zurian, or Z as he likes to be called, is such a giver. So after our musical break, we will get into our first segment interview with Zurian Bennett. I am sure you will agree he is a man for all seasons. For now, let's chill out and get into some real jazz. Today, we're taking a look back with saxophonist the great Kirk Whalum. Back around 2010, he decided to get together a few of his friends and fellow performers and pay tribute to the late, great Donny Hathaway. And you know, he had to include Donny's daughter, Layla, on one of the cuts, which we will play later. But for now, we will play a cut from that CD by Kirk Whalum, entitled Everything is Everything, the music of Donny Hathaway. This cut contains the title track, and it's called Voices Inside, Everything is Everything. So for now, here is Voices Inside, Everything is Everything.
I always wanted to make that sound, and I wanted to buy a wah-wah one.
Yeah.
what I'm talking about. Well, we're back. We're going to bring on Z, but I want to say that it took me a while to pronounce his name correctly, and it's correctly pronounced Zurian. But you'll hear me call him Z because I do consider him a friend, and I think he considers me the same. Anyway, he's a passionate guy, and all who know me know that I'm the same. So anyway, without further ado, here is the segment interview with Z. It's our personal segment. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a somewhat unique interview for you today. With me is a man with whom I have a deep respect for. He and I have talked sparingly as we are always on the move. Yet our conversations have been telling of each other's personality and goals. Enough for me to realize we have much in common when it comes to business and watching people in general. Zurain Bennett has authored 3 unique books on self-defense, one of which is the title Self-Defense for Entrepreneurs, Not What You Think. He is the current host of the Zurain broadcast via Blog Talk Radio. So without further ado, please help me welcome Mr. Zurain Bennett. So how are you doing today, Z? Oh, no problem, no problem. So is it kind of cold up in the capital area? Or?
I call it pleasantly cool.
Pleasantly cool, you say?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it's not snowing or nothing, right?
No, I think that's supposed to happen tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So now where are you? Are you in D.C. or in Virginia?
I'm in Northern Virginia.
Okay, Northern Virginia. So, all right, okay. Well, all right, without going into any more chit-chat, so to speak, because otherwise you and I will be chit-chatting forever, and we won't even have a show. We'll just be chit-chatting. Let me start with, there's a quote that you have on your website, Facebook specifically. It says, "I speak my mind because it hurts to bite my tongue." Where did the quote originate, and what attracted you to it? A lot of time in the Marines, and you're going to correct me on that. What led you to the Marine Force versus another type of armed services?
Well, it's kind of, we're going to say this is a long, short story. I was born and raised in the New York area, you know, right next to the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, I saw, like most people, most people that live in the inner city,
mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of stuff that was really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys were graduating from high school, and they were going nowhere. Some people were going to college, you know, all types of different things. Well, I didn't have stellar grades.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that my parents couldn't afford to send me to college.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, actually in the 11th grade, to go ahead and join the United States Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a little bit more to that. I had a friend who was gung-ho to join the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking to me, and I was like, you know what? Not a bad idea. We were supposed to go in on the buddy plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the funny thing. My buddy never made it.
Yeah.
I like the mindset of the Marine Corps in the sense of, you know, they were an elite force.
Mm-hmm.
So they were a band of brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Simplify, always faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And things like that, wanting to get out of the city and wanting to get out of the craziness,
mm-hmm.
led me to join the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good thing that I did because, let's see, within 13 years of me graduating from high school,
mm-hmm.
I think a little more than half of, and my graduating class was a little over 1,000 kids.
Mm-hmm.
More than half of my graduating class was dead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's, yeah. Yeah. How long were you in the Marine Corps?
Total was 22 years.
Okay. Okay. We're in there long enough to be a, as they say, a show enough vet.
Yeah, I did 22 years. I made it to Gunnery Sergeant, E7,
mm-hmm.
and then I applied for Warrant Officer.
Mm-hmm.
Got selected for Warrant Officer, which was funny. I accept the Warrant Officer promotion before the Staff Enlisted promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So I got promoted as a Warrant Officer, as a gunny,
mm-hmm.
and then about 2 months or so, maybe three months or so after I got promoted as a Warrant Officer, my documentation came in to make me a Master Sergeant.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, you are an author, instructor, and speaker. How do you get those particular areas to complement each other?
Actually, it's relatively easy. The author part, there's a story in everybody, there's a mission in everybody,
mm-hmm.
and there's wisdom that can be shared by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I know most of us share the foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
So that part was really easy. And as you said earlier, you know, we have a lot in common as in we watch people and we listen to people. Well, what's ended up happening is I've run into people that have actually made suggestions to me because there were voids in their lives or in the things that they saw around them,
mm-hmm.
which helped me to believe that there was a need. So I ended up writing the book because people were asking me to help them or, you know, could I give them some information on this, 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 and this. And most of the things that I was doing, I wasn't charging for them. Like a friend said to me, hey, Z, you know, my church wants me to write this program for our ushers and greeters. Could you help me out? So, of course, like most people, I go, well, not most people, but like most people, what ends up happening is they want something, but when you ask them to do their part, they're too busy, they've got too much going on, or
they
don't know where to start or begin.
Oh, yeah.
So what ended up happening was with that, well, with all of the books, but with that particular book, which is Positive Self-Defense for Faith-Based Organizations, or that program, because it's not a book yet,
mm-hmm.
I started researching it, and the next thing I knew, I got into it, and the next thing I knew, I pretty much had a book, because I found it. 7 pages worth of incidents
mm-hmm.
in the United States where people have been robbed, raped, or murdered on church property, even on some of the holidays where you would think people wouldn't do that.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah, so that led me to write that particular book. Now, the one that I'm the most passionate about, not jumping around too much, is Positive Self-Defense for Women. The reason I wrote that book was because for 10 years, I taught for free Sexual Assault Victims Advocate Service.
Mm-hmm.
I taught a free women's, they charged, but I didn't get paid. I taught a women's basic, a women's advanced, and a resisting aggression defensively for children for them.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was a give back type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the majority of the programs that are out there, they don't talk about being proactive. They mostly focus on being reactive.
Mm-hmm.
So something has happened to you, or you're scared half to death, or something's happened to you that you don't want to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the damage, because after teaching about close to 2,000 classes,
mm-hmm.
I realized that, wow, you know, we need something to keep these women and keep people
mm-hmm.
from having this happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of it is, you know, it's how you position yourself. It's your attitude. And no pun against Americans, because other countries have the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
To think that somebody's going to come and rescue us. Well, guess what? The cavalry's not coming, only on television.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's how I ended up writing just two of the books.
Mm-hmm.
As far as speaking, I realized that, you know, one, I didn't think I was a bad speaker,
mm-hmm.
but I realized that more and more people were asking me to give them information, to help them with stuff. Could I talk on that subject?
Mm-hmm.
And I just started speaking and started doing different things. And, you know, so far I've been doing most of it at either a little to no cost, you know, or no cost at all, because I've always tried to give back.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize that it was something that could be monetized at the time, because I didn't feel as though anybody would want to listen to what I had to say. And
yeah.
Just like the show, the Zurian show.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, it does.
So let me ask, what is a Z success? Because I've seen that posted on your site.
What Z success is, in all actuality, is the fact that I keep going in so many different directions. The paths are pretty much the same, the directions are pretty much the same, but the paths are somewhat different. So what ended up happening is because I was doing so many things, I was like, okay, you know, how do I take this all and ball it into one thing?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? We're just going to call it Z-Success, because technically that's what I'm trying to do.
Right.
I'm trying to help people find success, but realize that each individual is just that, a special, a gifted, and a blessed individual, and everybody needs different things.
Yeah.
So what's happening is I wasn't trying to really sell or present anything. I was just listening to people, and then they were kind of telling me what it is that they needed.
Oh, okay.
And as they told me what they needed, I would just go, well, hey, you know, you're not from the United States. You got a degree in this and a degree in this and a degree in this. And I said, well, since they won't accept your credits here because it's not a accredited institution as far as the United States is concerned, how about since you've got all this knowledge and you love what you did,
yeah,
you class them. You know, I think if you collect those classes, it's going to cost you a fraction of it, and different colleges will accept a certain amount of collect courses.
Exactly.
And the guy was like, really? I said, yeah, really. With the women's self-defense, I'll talk to somebody and they'll say something. Or somebody will say, hey, you know, I'm really looking for this, 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 and this, and I have nothing to gain, but I'll go ahead and give them a referral for somebody that I know that may be able to do what they need, or three or four people that can help them with whatever it is that they're doing. And what's happened is that it's really weird. I've run into people that I've never met, never seen, never heard of. And those people will go, hey, how you doing? I'll go, hello, how you doing? My name is Zurian Bennett. And they'll go, how do you say that? I said, Zurian Bennett. So then I'll start with the name and I'll say, you know what, just call me Z. Oh, man, I complain about you. And I'm like, really?
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, you told us about a couple of your books, and I think, and I mentioned the first one, The Entrepreneur, Self-Defense for the Entrepreneur. So how did this series, well, let me say this. Tell me about The Entrepreneur book.
Okay. Positive Self-Defense for Entrepreneurs, Not What You Think.
Yeah.
Basically, what I'm really trying to do with that book is I realize that a lot of us that are into business or entrepreneurs or stuff like that, a lot of the entrepreneurs that I meet, especially the ones that are successful, we're really not successful on purpose. We're successful by accident. And I really found that to be amazing because, and what ends up killing them in the end, and the ones that are trying to become entrepreneurs, is that their soft skills are horrible. You know, you hire somebody because they have, let's say, a master's in economics. Okay? But they don't even have a elementary school certificate in interacting with other human beings.
Exactly, yeah.
And some of these people, they're very detrimental, not only to themselves, but also to the businesses. Like, I had a young lady that I met some years ago for an information system company that I worked with. She was the president in charge of human resources. And her people skills were atrocious. Her empathy for people was horrible. Her thing, I remember a couple of times she said to me, well, Z, you do know that these women or these people, and it's another woman. People don't have any education to speak of, so they should be thankful that they have a job. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, you do know that they bill hours. Because this was a contracting company. So the reason that you get paid is because that lady that doesn't have a degree to speak of, those people as you call them, they're billing hours, and those billed hours are how you get paid. And then, you know, all of the other crazy stuff. A lot of entrepreneurs don't know how to network. They don't understand the liability that they put themselves in when they hire those toxic people. They don't know how to let a person go, you know, and terminate that person. Sometimes a lot of personal things come into a professional and business environment.
Right.
On you.
So
I had one lady, it was really funny, and I did it on purpose, I'll be honest. What ended up happening was we had a young man that got terminated. Well, the young man that got terminated basically said, you know what, I ought to come back with a street sweeper.
A street sweeper.
Yeah, which is basically a fully automatic weapon.
Boy.
And she, of course, has a meeting the next day about the whole thing. And I go, you know, that's not the first time that you guys fired somebody like they were a pawn instead of a person.
Right.
You know, I'll be honest, you know, I worked in law enforcement for, 12 years. And I've met people that have killed people over a whole lot less than losing their job.
Yeah.
I said, so I'm surprised that you guys are actually going to come in tomorrow.
Yeah.
That woman didn't come back to work for an entire week.
See? Probably thought about what she did, and, you know, it just shook her to her core.
Yeah, but it didn't shake her to her core because it was... she did something wrong.
Oh.
It slipped into a court because she thought it was
going to
kick Mike Ketch up with her.
Exactly. That's what I meant. Yeah, exactly.
And that was, you know, that was just one incident.
Yeah.
So I had a conversation with one of the vice presidents, the senior vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Company, and I told him, I said, listen, you know, I don't mean to sound crazy. And the person was sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the person right here, I said, they're going to cause you to lose all your contracts and cause you more trouble than you're expecting. And I got what I call the Oklahoma grin. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
And I said, okay.
Mark
my words. Two years, 8 months later, that company, the same company, has lost over $90 million in contracts.
They've
lost every contract that I used to manage, and they've lost, I think, over 300 employees. So, again, you know, you should treat people how you want to be treated, but be fair and consistent about it. Yeah. And understand that you don't know a person's walk unless you're walking it.
Yeah. And it makes no difference what industry you're in. That seems to be, you know, because they bring those habits to work. That's the problem. So.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So you feel that you are providing the service to people, and you are, those people who are in need. So how receptive do you find your audience to be? I mean, do they, and what I mean by that is do they, say like a new person that doesn't really know you, how do they seem to be, you know, are they cautious in what you say, or they're just trying to see, are you going to say something intelligent, because you know how some people are.
Okay, we're going down a couple of different roads here.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Okay, well, as you know, I'm African American.
Yes.
Well, I constantly run into people that don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And they, not all, because there's really some great people out there, no matter what their color, what
exactly,
their religion.
Exactly.
But there's some people out there that definitely pigeonhole you.
Right.
Let me give you a couple of examples. One, I was working with this one organization, and I was providing a service for them.
Mm-hmm.
And got along great with them. They didn't pay me. I did it for free. Again, giving back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
They got a new director. Well, the old director was Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
The new director was Caucasian, but younger.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this person had seen me a couple of times, and it was a self-defense class. So every time I went to the class, I was dressed like I was going to do physical fitness stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, now, mind you, I'm volunteering my own time, giving my own information, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one day they called me and asked me to come to their location and teach a class. And I was like, well, I can't teach there. It's too small.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, no, we got it. We need you to come. So I said, okay. This was the other lady that I dealt with because I didn't really deal with the new director. So I show up. I knock on the door. The new director opens up the door. Now, remember I said I didn't say this. I used to manage information systems contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, I had 386 employees. So I knock on the door, and I'm in a suit and tie.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman opens the see? I go, yeah. She's like, wow, you really cleaned up nice. And the way she said it, it wasn't just what she said, it was the way she said it.
Yeah.
That made me go, oh, you got issues.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. See, a lot of people don't understand that people of color have those antennas. And,
oh, yeah. Here's another one that's really wild. As I said, I used to manage information systems contracts for the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
But one day, there's this one person that I talked to probably for about over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But every time we communicated, it was via email.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, on a couple of occasions, called me, well, Miss Bennett, because my name is Zurian.
Mm-hmm.
But he thought that Zurian was female. So I corrected him probably about 5 or 6 times. Then I just said, the heck with it. It really doesn't matter to me. I know what I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, 2 years go by, and one day I get called to the headquarters, the federal office's headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
So I get there, and I'm about an hour early.
Mm-hmm.
So they send somebody down to get me. They bring me upstairs. The lady goes, well, your conference doesn't start, or your meeting doesn't start for another 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't mind, can I go ahead and just sit you in the conference room?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, that'll be fine, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting in the conference room, and I'm waiting. So at about 1:45, people start coming in. Well, nobody introduced themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And I was the only black person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the room, I guess, full of everybody that's supposed to be there, and the person that's running the meeting comes in, sees me, ignores me.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, now we're about 5 minutes, and the guy's like, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start at this time. We're just waiting for this one person to come, and as soon as that person comes, we're going to go ahead and start.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, so I'm still sitting there. And I think I was the only person that wasn't a Fed.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting, and waiting, and waiting. Well, then, now it's the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to give the person 5 more minutes. We're in Washington, D.C. We're in D.C., so maybe, they got stuck in traffic. You know how the D.C. traffic is.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's 5 minutes after, and the person goes, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to go ahead and start. I don't know what happened to this person, but when they get here, we'll just go ahead and get them in. But it's really crucial that they get here because they're playing a critical part in what it is that we're supposed to be doing. So somebody goes, excuse me, who are we waiting for? So the guy goes, well, the person that we're waiting for is Zurian Bennett. And I go, excuse me? You weren't waiting for me. I said, I've been here, I got here an hour early, and I've been sitting in this room for 45 minutes. And the guy looked and was flabbergasted.
Yeah.
So I gave him an out. I said, you know what it is? I said, I'm sorry. Most people hear the name Zurian and they think that I'm a woman.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that.
Yeah.
He thought I was a woman, and he thought that I wasn't black.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah. We always run into that kind of stuff, it's just amazing. And a lot of time it has nothing to do with whether the person is a racist or not. It's just that that's what they're used to, they're buying into the stereotype sometimes.
Yeah, the sad part is that there's too many people of color that buy into the same stereotype.
Yeah, of course. So we definitely don't want to let them off the hook. So, and that's another show. Well, let me ask you this. People like you and I are always willing to give valuable advice away to sometimes anybody who will listen. How do you reconcile the thought of continuing to provide free social service or information to people versus using that same information for personal financial gain? Because I know, we are, as I said, a lot alike. You naturally, you just like to tell people what's better for them. So how do you know, okay, well, this is, I need to reserve some of this because I need to put it in a book or whatever?
To be honest, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Because of the fact that here's the problem. A lot of it's kind of like money.
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice how a bank deals with you?
Yeah.
A bank only wants to give you money if you don't need money.
Right.
The problem is that the people that need the money are the ones that need the most help.
Yeah.
still trying to figure out in that little mix which ones are actually going to appreciate and actually use it to the advantage of the whole, not just themselves, but the overall whole. So it's really difficult. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I've actually started to try to figure out ways to monetize a lot of the stuff that I've done, because what I realized is this. A lot of the people that have everything that they don't need anything, they're not the people that are going to step up and help you.
That's right.
They're not the people that's going to offer it to you. And also, if you don't put a price on things, you'll find that most people won't value it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's really crazy. I mean, it's really crazy.
Yeah.
Perfect example, my books. You would think, especially my positive self-defense for women, with all of the craziness that's going on, you would think that my book would be, and then not just because it's my book, but because it has content that can help people, you would think it would be a New York Times bestseller. I could give a crap less about an Amazon bestseller. Every Tom, Dick, and Larry is an Amazon bestseller.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But you would think that it would be because it's giving you useful information. It's not the Harry Potter story, okay? It's not some soap opera story about some craziness that didn't happen or some fiction thing. Useful information, and there just happens to be some stories in it. But that's for people that are of different thinking, a way to see it and understand it. But it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, it's very frustrating.
Yeah. See, that's where I was going with that, because as you say, you know, we don't take the time to sort it out and say, well, I could sell this or this, that, and the other, where I know there are people that do that. And but people like you and I, from the, as they say, from the community, and we're anxious to help, we just give advice, you know, without thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a daughter in college. I have a son that is preparing to go to college. And, you know, I have a wife and a family that I deeply and sincerely care about. When you can't do certain things for them.
Yeah, yeah.
It hurts. And it also hurts when you've done 1,000 things, 1,000 people or more, and those people not only can't ever help you, but they won't change. They're in a recidivist world, and their world is, take, need, 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 and you're never going to give it back.
Right.
And it just really hurts, especially, you know, how you say it's like the relatives that every time they have a problem, you bail them out either with a place to live, money, the use of a car, something. And, I mean, that's white, black, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
When the car blows up, oh, man, you know, I got a problem with the car. You've had it for 4 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and you're the only one that's been driving it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, I need a tow truck. So you call your tow truck company. They tow your truck. I mean, tow the car. And next thing you know, you're like, you get it to the mechanic. What's wrong? Oh, the engine seized. Yeah, it just seized up. There wasn't any oil in it.
Yeah.
And then you're putting a new engine in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Or the people that come and live with you, but never, you know, they get back on their feet somewhat, but they never start putting money to replace the fact that they haven't paid rent in I don't even know how many years.
Right.
They're eating your food, washing their clothes with your water, using your laundromat, using your washer and dryer, and soaking up space.
Well, you know.
That's a story too, right? That's a story.
Exactly. Here's the thought. We do what we do because we are who we are. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I agree, but some of us have to stop being who we are. What's happening is because we help the people that will never appreciate it, we don't have the means to help the people that will.
Yeah, no, and that's a good way to put it. I'm going to hold on a minute, and we'll be right back to you, but let me clear something here and play a little music, and I'll be back, okay? Okay, we're back live. Let's pay some bills, as they say on
Network TV. This program is brought to you by Ham's Corner of America parent company, the Chia Group. You can check us out at www.hampscoa.net, where you will also find how to order my latest book entitled The Episodic Thoughts of Hamp. It's a compilation of my blogs and articles from 1999 through 2014, with other surprises. The Episodic Thoughts of Hamp is available worldwide in paperback and ebook formats at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and the United Kingdom's iAuthor book site at www.iauthor.uk.com. For you Apple users, the book is available in an iPad, iPhone format at your Apple Internet distributors. You can also find my blogs on a regular basis at www.katara-rhythm.com. That's katararhythm.com. This show is also brought to you by Rich Tycoon's all-original AO brand. You may have seen him wearing it on his latest CD, Chapter 34. He has on a pull-over hooded sweatshirt with the pronounced letters A-O capitalized in bold. The hooded sweatshirt comes in a variety of colors. He also has a zippered style with a hoodie and the same all-original lettering across the chest, displaying the big A-O for you. You can go to his site at http://, which you didn't need all that, but I'll tell you anyway, blackbusiness.net, that's blackbizness.net, for the full details. I got mine. Order yours today. We will take another song break here and come back with our guest in a minute. Folks, we will continue another selection from the Kurt Whalum, Everything is Everything, the music of Donny Hathaway's CD. This cut features Little Miss Hathaway, Donny's daughter, Layla Hathaway, as a vocalist singing on this song. Here is a song. It's entitled You Had to Know with Layla Hathaway.
You had to know that I'd be waiting patiently. You had to know that I'd still be here. 'Cause I told you
Gentlemen, we are going to go back to the second segment of my taped interview with Zurian Bennett. So, here we go.
See, I adjust, adapt, and do my best to overcome.
I hear you. Well, let's see. The next question I have is we're still talking about your show. Where do you see the show later on in the year or, say, in 2016?
By 2016 is that the show is more monetized through sponsors and that it becomes a spinoff to other and greater things while it continues.
Okay.
As I was saying before, the problem with a lot of us that do our stuff for free is that life happens.
Yeah.
And because we're doing it for free, and what I was saying earlier is your time, your energy, your intellectual, you know, knowledge is valuable. Well, what ends up happening is that, you know, you end up finding yourself in the position where the people that you were meant to help or the people that you're helping no longer in a position to help them because you don't have the monetary means or the resources to do so.
Right. I can see that. Well, let me ask some. What is your hot button issue of today? You know, if everybody has something that they're motoring, you know, there's something that's caught their attention in the morning headlines or the headlines of yesterday. By that I mean the thought that is on your mind in the world of politics or business.
In the world of politics or business.
Which can be one and the same sometimes.
Yeah, it is. Right now I'm really kind of appalled about what people have to say about our present president. And not just saying it in amongst themselves, but saying it on a national and international platforms like Facebook and things like that. I have a real problem with like that. Mm-hmm. Because I'll be honest, I served in the Marine Corps for 22 years. I was in law enforcement for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't agreed with everything that every commander in chief has had come out of his mouth or actions that the Congress or whatever have done, but particularly the commander in chief, because that person becomes the face of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really appalled in a lot of the stuff that people do or say, you know, and it's not just because I'm black, you know, or African American. It's because of the fact that that's my commander in chief.
Right.
You want to say something, by all means, say it. But why are you putting it on an international and national platform?
Yeah.
All right, so that other cultures, other countries can look at that and go, see how jacked up they are?
Yeah.
Not that they're not jacked up, too.
No, yeah, I understand.
But the whole thing is, it's just not the place.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I've got a couple of people that were friends of mine on Facebook, and I told them on Facebook, you know, I think that's treason.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, I'm African-American. If anybody should have problems with politics,
mm-hmm.
oh, my God, it should be a person that's black.
Yeah, yeah.
So of African American descent.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm like, listen, it is what it is. You voted these people in, or you didn't vote and vote them in,
mm-hmm.
or you didn't do what was necessary to not get them voted in,
mm-hmm.
and by not hurting them or anything like that. So what is your complaint?
Yeah.
You know, most of my issues, sad to admit it, they're my issues.
Right.
I could have chosen to go left instead of going right. And I'm not talking about my political affiliation. I'm talking about life.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't understand, 3% of the population, and I didn't write that either, control the other 97%.
Yeah.
And that ain't the president.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the people that are the movers and shakers and the money makers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at how everything was created just in our nation and the world,
mm-hmm.
okay, those powers of wealth were created long before I was born.
Yep.
My father was born. My grandfather was born.
Yeah.
And his grandfather were born.
Yep.
You know, and the weird thing is that when you look at fiction and you laugh about it, there's a lot of truth in it.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so as far as politics, that's one of the things that gets my goat.
Yeah.
You know, as far as things going on around the world, I'm personally sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm tired of people not doing what they say and being people of character.
Yeah.
I'm tired of fighting the good fight and then looking behind me and finding out that my backup troops are missing in action.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm tired of people just not being, again, the people that they want to be, you know? I mean, because let's be honest, I'm not perfect. I'm not the sharpest knife, any of the above.
Yeah.
But there are people that make me look like a razor, and they have succeeded way beyond my fondest and wildest dreams.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people don't understand. If you could have right now on your retirement, whatever it is that you do, if you could get the salary that you have right now and wouldn't have to pay for room and board or shelter, food, and clothing, if you didn't have to pay for shelter, food, and clothing, $50,000 a year, you could live like a king.
Exactly.
And you don't get it. Most people don't know that, you know, you get people like the IRS, and hopefully they ain't going to come after me today.
Yeah.
You get people like them that come after you, you know, they actually have no power. They're not even part of the government.
Yeah.
That flipped me out.
Yeah,
yeah. They're a separate entity. They don't answer to really anybody unless they really mess up, and then it's so much, you know, insanity, like what happened, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's amazing. And again, we're so busy being busy, and most of us just don't know that, you know, we become victims. I mean, somebody put out a thing the other day about, could you explain to me why why if I retire and I spend 20, 30 years in the military, why I don't get 100% of my pay. However, if I'm a congressman or what have you, I get that. Plus, I get health and all that other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he served his country for 20 years and put his life on the line.
Mm-hmm.
However, this person lived in the life of luxury,
mm-hmm.
made all of these deals around the corner, on mm-hmm. the side, under the table,
right.
and they live in some mansion, and they're done. They're good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got veterans that are suffering from, you know, PTSD, all
right.
this other stuff,
right.
coming home, and they're homeless.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm a veteran. I mean, I'll be honest, I've worked some jobs where I'm talking to people and I'm like, you're successful, but you're a piece of crap.
Yeah.
You deserve nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you've got everything and you're concerned about, are you going to see the blame today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, these servicemen, they get paid, blah, 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 blah. Do you know that a private in the military, actually a private PFC and corporal in the military qualifies for food stamps?
Oh, yeah. I can believe that. Yeah. Yep. No. I mean, you know, we look at our democracy and we see all of these problems in it, and we hire, you know, when I say hire, we vote people in to office to go to Washington to fix it, and all they do is go there and, you know, try to, you know, well, anyway, it's a long story. But let me just ask this. What is it like, speaking of that, what is it like to live around the Washington, D.C. area where so much political noise, such as story spinning or party positioning, happens at what seems like every hour? I mean, how do you filter some of that stuff out sometimes? Because you certainly can't look, you know, I mean, I would imagine turning on the TV and the radio is just a, you know, you just don't do it that often. Am I right or wrong?
You're right. One, I don't really watch TV. I don't even like watching the news. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't know what comes on television.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, it actually is quite interesting. In the Washington, D.C. metro area, which is where I live,
mm-hmm.
everything is basically spent off of the federal government.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting is, the Midwest and the West, they're not as dependent on the government. So, like, right now, we have all this stuff going on with the Republican Tea Party.
Yeah, yeah.
Causing all of this havoc. Now, they may have a reason for it, and okay, but here's the thing. Most of the people, most of those congressmen that represent those areas,
mm-hmm.
when something stupid happens in the government, it's not affecting their constituents. It has a grave effect on the people that live in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So them being able to pay their mortgages, all that other stuff, is really contingent on it. And since most people live paycheck to paycheck, no matter what city, what state, what county they live in, you know, it really hurts them.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other thing that's really weird about this area is that there are other places in the nation which aren't as, I guess you can say, blessed in the sense of jobs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And because the people here hear that on the news, because what does the news push? Doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
Because the news pushes doom and gloom, they get into the mentality that the economy that's going on in, let's say, Wyoming is the same economy that's going on in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, right.
And it isn't. But they get so...
Mm-hmm.
sucked up,
mm-hmm.
brainwashing,
mm-hmm.
that they thought, oh, well, you know, the economy is really down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. In Chicago, the economy is terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the people that are really slicksters,
mm-hmm.
is they go, well, guys, you know, the economy is really bad, you know, we're not going to be able to help you, you know, we're not going to be able to do this, 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 and this, because, you know, things are really bad. But things aren't bad here. I mean, I know places that have made record dollars, and that's because I've talked to their higher-ups.
Mm-hmm.
But their people think that they're in a terrible economy.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, I'm not telling people I'm doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to want me to lower my prices.
Yeah.
And they're going to want me to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And in this area, I'm originally from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'll be honest. I've been very blessed. I've been successful in most things that I've ever done. I'm not rich. I'm not loaded with money.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as being able to get a position, being able to establish myself, being able to move to the next level, I've always been able to.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved into the Washington, D.C. area, and I realized that there was a, and this is for a bunch of races,
mm-hmm.
there was a different type of good old boy network.
Mm-hmm.
So in New York, there's a good old boy network, but here's the deal. As one of my directors told me when I used to be a fire and safety officer, he said, Z, because I went up to him and I said, hey, Don, I got a question for you. He goes, mm-hmm. what's that, Z? I said, this is when I applied for the position as a fire and safety officer for New York City, fire and safety, occupational safety and health officer.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I didn't think I had a chance in heck of getting it. But I applied anyway because one of the old jacks that worked in security for New York City came up to me and he said, young man, you said you got all this experience, right? I said, yes, sir. He's like, I'll be right back. He went, pulled an announcement off of the wall at his office, brought it back to me and said, you need to submit your resume for this because you got all these credentials and you could do this job.
Yeah.
And I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I submitted. I didn't think I had a chance in a blue dream.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I applied, and I got a call to do an interview.
Mm.
A gentleman, and I remember it like it was yesterday, his name was Donald Chamberlain. Donald Chamberlain called me up. He scheduled me for an interview. I went for the interview and did the interview, you know, thought it went really well, but still didn't think I had a heck's chance in Mars of getting that job.
Mm.
And they called me up. They sent out the message, and I got a message. Hey, you know, well, what happened was people started coming up to me. Hey, Bennett, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was like, what are they congratulating me for? They were congratulating me because I was one of two people that got selected to work at the fire and safety unit.
Wow.
So I was like, what? I got it?
Mm.
They're like, yeah, you got it, man. You're supposed to be out of here in 2 weeks. You're done. You're over there, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay. So I went. And after I had been there for probably about 90 days to 6 months, you know, and I was the only person that was doing these. I was doing fire and safety, but I was also doing the occupational safety and health because nobody else wanted to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. It was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I started doing the job, got really good at it, kind of got myself a reputation, got other organizations asking for me specifically,
mm-hmm.
you know, like EPA and all of them. And one day I went up to my director and I said, hey, Don, I got a question for you. So she said, Z, what's that? I said, why'd you hire me? He said, Z, I hired you because you were the best person for the job. So I just thought he was giving me some rah-rah crap, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, do you understand what I'm saying? I said, yeah, Don, right, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to leave. He said, no, Z, sit back down.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why? He said, no, we need to have a quick talk.
Mm-hmm.
So what he told me, and this was a white guy, and
mm-hmm.
what he told me was something that I'll never forget. He said, Z, the reason that I hired you and the other gentleman was because you two knew more about fire and safety, and you knew more about fire and safety and occupational safety and health than I did.
Hmm.
He said, that's why I hired you.
A smart guy.
Yeah, so I said, okay. He's like, no, Z, I see you still don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, help me to understand.
Hmm.
He said, here's the deal, Z. He said, when I hired you, again, you not only knew more about it, when I put you on the job, you were not going to hit the ground crawling.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to hit the ground sprinting.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not trying to stay the director of fire and safety.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to move to the next level.
See? Yeah.
And I said, wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I moved to Virginia,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was like, hey, I've been successful just about every place I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always found a way to work it out and be of value. And, again, I moved here
mm-hmm.
thinking that I could take all of those skills I had and do exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized I was wrong.
Yeah.
I went to one of my lieutenants one day, and I said, "Hey, lieutenant, you know, I'm just not understanding how you guys work." I said, "You know, I've done this, I've done that, and I'm not really getting anywhere." I said, "Could you tell me where I'm going wrong?"
Uh-huh.
And he looked me dead in the face, and he said, "Z, have you ever looked at your training jacket?" I said, "Yeah, but it's in training. What's the problem?" He's like, "Z, you may not realize this, but your training jacket is thicker than anybody that's... Your training jacket is thicker than people that have been here for 10, 12, 20 years." So I said, "Okay, well, then that's not a problem. What are you talking about?"
Mm-hmm.
"Z, you know why you're having so many problems?" And again, this is a Caucasian gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
"Why?" He said, "Because you're an effing threat."
Yeah.
And I was like, it flabbergasted me. I mean, I was lost. I was like, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, I started applying for other stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's a big difference between New York City,
mm-hmm.
who I work for, and a county group, right?
Yeah.
You know? So I then said, "You know what? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let me apply for the tax team." So I applied for the tax team.
Mm-hmm.
Went through all of the processes, went to the FBI Academy, went to their obstacle course, all of the different things that were required. Got interviewed. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, I had nothing adverse in my jacket or anything like that.
Yeah.
So next thing I know, you know, we go through the whole process, and one day I'm actually standing outside, and a whole bunch of people come and get their tactical response gear,
mm-hmm.
they get their new 10 millimeters and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the people couldn't even make it through the obstacle course.
Yeah.
We had 18 people that made it to the obstacle course, and when we did the obstacle course, I think I was the 18th person to leave because they did it like this. They said, "Okay, ready, each person. All right, ready." They timed it.
Right.
All right. Wait like half a minute, go. Wait like half a minute, go. Wait like half a minute. I caught the guy that left first and passed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now I'm sitting there, and these guys are getting their gear, so it just so happened the lieutenant that was the person in charge of the tag team,
mm-hmm.
I was outside one day, and I said, "Hey, lieutenant, got a question for you. I see that a bunch of people made the tag squad. I didn't make it. Could you tell me what it is that I need to do to do better next time, because evidently there's somewhere where I dropped the ball."
Mm-hmm.
He looked me dead in the face and he said, "Z, you did outstanding." I said, "But I didn't make the team." He's like, "Yeah." He said, "You know why you didn't make the team, Z?" I said, "No, that's why I'm asking you so I can make the changes." He said, "You didn't make the team, Z, because every now and then the Marine Corps calls you and asks you to do certain things and mm-hmm. you leave." I said, "Okay.
Yeah.
But why didn't I make the team?"
Yeah.
I said, "That's why you didn't make the team, Z."
Yeah.
He said, "When I need my TAC officers, I need my TAC officers."
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay, Lieutenant, I got a question for you." He said, "What's that?"
Wow.
I said, "Do any of your TAC officers on their day off ever go out drinking?"
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Yeah."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, when you call them up and they say, 'Hey, Lieutenant, I've been drinking,' can they come and respond?" He's like, "Of course not. They've been under the influence of alcohol. They can't come to tax."
Mm-hmm.
I go, "Okay, thank you, no problem." I said, "I got another question for you, Lieutenant." "What's that, Zay?" I said, "Do you ever have any officers that go on vacation and you call them up and they're somewhere else, not in the state, not in the country?"
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Yeah, people take vacation all the time."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "But you just told me that I did outstanding on everything, including the interviews. And that the reason I'm not one of your TAC officers is because if the United States military calls me, I won't be available."
Yeah.
"Thank you."
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I couldn't believe he said it.
Yeah.
At that point, I got an ombudsman and I filed a complaint.
Yeah.
The ombudsman did an investigation, found it in my favor.
Yeah.
They ended up pissing him off. He ended up going to the Department of Labor.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Labor did an investigation, found it in my favor.
Mm-hmm.
They pissed the Department of Labor off. The Department of Labor got pissed off. They filed it with the Department of Justice.
Mm. Wow.
The Department of Justice did it for like 3 years. I had been gone a year and a half. Now, mind you, I had nothing derogatory or negative in my jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. work is still up there, whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But guess what? I never made that tag team.
Yeah.
So it's a different type of mindset, which comes back to your politics and the other stuff.
Exactly. It's something we all have to deal with, people of color, that is. We're going to have to leave it at that, Z. You want to give your point of contact so people can get in touch with you?
Yes, sir. I'm available for speaking events. My books are available on Barnes & Noble's and Amazon. You can put in Zurian and you'll see all four of my books. There's four books that are published, and I do other programs.
Mm-hmm.
To get in contact with me, you can go to www.zurianbennett.com, and that's Z-U-R-R-I-A-N-E, Bennett, B-E-N-N-T-E-T-T.com. So zurianbennett.com, and you can reach out to me, send me an email. My email is ZZSuccess, again, two Z's and the word success.
Okay.
Looking to grow and looking to develop, and thank you again for having me on your show, sir.
Oh, thank you, sir. I want to thank you for your participation and thoughtful answers, because you gave us a lesson today, and I really do appreciate that. You're a good dude and a friend. I wish you nothing short of many blessings and success in all your endeavors. We'll have to do this again later on in the year. You think so?
Yes, sir. What is it they say? If each one teaches one, we'll all grow up to be better.
That's it. All right. Kiss the wife, hug the kids, and have a good evening.
Yes, sir. I will kiss the wife and my son who just walked in the
door. All right. Take it easy. Tell him I said hello.
Yes, sir. Will do.
All right. Good night, sir.
Our show is also brought to you by BOPSA, which stands for Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. Their mission, connecting the black dots, consisting of eight major connections. Number one, consumers. Number two, social media. Number three, hair care product manufacturers and hair distributors. Number four, barbershops. Number five, salons, natural hair salons and braiding salons. Number six, beauty supply stores. Number seven, traditional retail and online shopping. And finally, number eight, the black community, you, the black community. Check out the details of BOPSA founder Sam Enan's latest concept, the Black Box Barber Caddy for Men. Caddy that carries products for our ladies' new natural hairstyles, and another caddy carrying product for perms or weaves. They are vending machines that will expand your income potential and serve your customer base. In other words, you can have them in your shop, or you can own one and set the vending machine wherever you feel like it can serve you best. Think inside the box. Go to www.bobsa.org for complete details, or visit www.theblackboxbarbercaddy.com, or simply call Sam Enan at 650-863-3491. Tell him Hamp sent you. For our third selection from the Kirk Whalen Everything is Everything, the music of Donny Hathaway CD, we offer a well-known song by Danny. Here is Kirk Whalen's rendition of Someday We Will All Be Free. Of course, Kirk Whalen is playing the tenor saxophone. Someday We'll All Be Free, tenor saxophonist Kirk Whalen. We're back. Oh, yeah. This little tidbit from the news today. I haven't seen the Jeopardy game show episode, but it seems there was a bald-headed appearance by FLOTUS. That acronym spelling out the First Lady of the United States, which I am sure we all know is Michelle Obama. The First Lady appeared to be bald as she touted the National Nutrition Month program. She has partnered with them to advocate good eating habits for all, especially children. She was on the game show yesterday to promote her favorite program of Let's Move, which is an anti-childhood obesity initiative. Our social media lit up. Tweets were flying all over the place. Michelle is bald. She got a new do or no do at all. One lady tweeted, "My dad just saw Michelle Obama is bald because she doesn't eat." That's what he said. Well, it was a camera angle that made it look like she was bald. She really is not bald, so just chill out. Yes, social media is still on the case, so watch how you appear in public. Our fourth player of the day, we try a little up-tempo cut entitled Valdez in the Country, featuring Jeff Golub on electric guitar. Here is more from that same CD of Donny Hathaway's music with Kirk Whalen. And as I said, this one is called Valdez in the Country. Thank you. Country, Kirk Whalen. Let's go into our last word segment for tonight. Let's talk a little bit about Obamacare on this last word for today. Jimmy Kimmel, the late-night TV host, did a street interview segment describing Obamacare to a few people passing by in New York City. I believe it was just last year before the midterms. He asked, describing Obamacare and calling it the Affordable Care Act, which happens to be its legitimate name, he asked if people felt this was a good thing for the American public. Almost everybody interviewed, with one or two exceptions, saw it was a good thing for the average American and those who cannot afford health insurance. They saw it as a good thing. Then he flipped the script and called it Obamacare. He would even ask some of the same people if this program was like Obamacare or was it the same. Again, almost everyone interviewed, with a couple of exceptions, did not know the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare was one and the same. The Republicans and their Tea Party supporters have muddled the water so much, so to speak, that they just the name Obamacare meant that they were supposed to like, that they were not supposed to like it at all. They just heard Obamacare and went ballistic. No, that's a worthless program and we don't need that at all, not realizing it was the same program that they were actually interviewing about. Even though those same people could not tell you what Obamacare did or did not do for our citizens. And now there's a challenge to the act that went before the Supreme Court. We should know the results this summer or before. Can you imagine the Supreme Court of the United States throwing millions of people off that program with nowhere to go? Stay tuned. Well, here's our last song break for tonight. Finally, here's the last cut. It features Music Soul Child on vocals. It's a soulful rendition called We're Still Friends. Here it is.
This is a song about a couple who used to be in love, but they had to break up. They ran into each other on the street one day and had the conversation. Hello, friend. How has it been? Wonderful, you've got a friend, though we've changed in our endeavor, yeah. I find we still some things in common. Through our living,
Kirk Whalum, with featuring music Soul Child on vocal. Well, I see by the clock on the wall it is past time for me to get out of here and let you, the listening audience, go do your thing. You, who stuck with me until the end and to whom I am so grateful, I hope your time was well spent and worth your while. As always, we meet here at the corner on a bi-monthly basis. I am your host, Curtis Hampton II. Just so you and the audience know, we do have chat room capabilities here. You can even chat among yourselves while you wait to ask our guests or myself a question. Since we always sprinkle our show with 5 to 6 musical cuts from our favorite artists, let us know your favorite, and I will try to get them in. If there are any comments, you can post them right on the show's comment section. Yeah. Please join us again on our regular day of Wednesday, April 8th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You will hear part 2 of our Zuri and Bennett interview that focuses specifically on being a blog talk radio host. Do my job better than I can possibly. For those who may be interested in crafting their own show, we will have some info for you. I will also have a few of my BTR experiences and advice in the last word section. We'll also introduce you to the Bay Area's own Larry Thomas. He is featured in a book by Thomas Guzman Sanchez entitled Underground Dance Master. He will be here to provide a little of Oakland history, including how he was credited for inventing certain dances of that era. He was voted the best dancer at Castle Mount High School in 1969 and became the school's mascot. That's an Oakland high school in East Oakland. He's got a great story from then and now about to stand true to your beliefs and carry on tradition up through today. Details of our guests and other specifics will be available on our website, including LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as other major social media sites. If you can't join us while we are live, you can always tune our website and listen to the show at your leisure. For now, peace. Thank God tonight for making it such a wonderful day and a more promising tomorrow. Good night. Take it easy. Good night.